featuring the rookie on production, Chris Reavers, Vice President of Social Media, and John Hite in the newsroom. Now, the Fireworks Commissioner, Flashlight King, and Keeper of Common Sense, your Mayor, Joe Souchere.
Welcome to Garage Logic. The deputy mayor, Tom Hauser, one of the many deputy mayors in today for Joe Souchere, who I'm sure is enjoying a nice, long, leisurely Thanksgiving weekend. Do you think, Manny, is that probably what he is up to? Just probably still eating turkey leftovers?
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that the mayor is also probably enjoying a cold one right now, too, as we speak.
And I wonder, does he deep fry his turkey in the garage? This is garage logic, I would guess. You don't want to do it in the garage. That's a safety hazard.
Right.
But he probably does it in the driveway.
Yeah.
Just outside the
probably
garage.
Probably right outside, right for the neighbors to see. And so he can kind of brag and say, ha-ha, I've got fried turkey.
And there is really almost no better way to deep fry. I mean, to eat turkey than to deep fry
it's fantastic.
In one of those deep fryers.
It's the best.
It is. You got to be careful what you're doing. I've witnessed some mishaps in my day. We don't try that at my house. We don't want the fire marshal hanging around any more than we have to. But I had a great Thanksgiving. How about you, Manny?
It was very good. I mean, I was here for most of the day yesterday with the Vikings game, and me and Phil Mackey, we did Vikings vent line after the game yesterday afternoon. But after that, I met up with the family and had some grub.
Well, that's good. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Family is what it's all about. And, you know, it's amazing. The family connections in tonight's Prep Bowl game in Class 6A. And we're going to talk about that with Minnetonka's head football coach, Dave Nelson. We're hoping to be joined shortly as well by Mike Grant from Eden Prairie. But these two guys, Manny, are going to square off tonight. And they are both legendary coaches in their own right.
Yeah.
But they are also the sons of coaching legends. Dave Nelson, the son of Stan Nelson, longtime legendary coach at Anoka. And, of course, Mike Grant, the son of legendary Vikings coach Bud Grant, who led the Vikings to 4 Super Bowls. And these two guys are going to face off against each other. I guess that's a hockey term. They're going to kick off against each other. They're going to square off. They're going to face each other tonight, Manny, in Class 6A on 45 TV. You'll be able to catch the game there if you don't go to U.S. Bank Stadium in person. So let's kick things off here with Dave Nelson, the head coach of the Minnetonka Skippers. Dave, how are you today?
Good, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. It's been a few years since you've had a team back at the Prep Bowl, 2004. But when you went there, you did it right, and you won it all. It was your second state championship. How special is this one, knowing it's been so long, so many years, and so many players have come and gone until you got there again? How special is this game tonight for you?
Well, you know, I think they're all special in their own way. And, you know, it's been a while since we've been back. So I think it makes that much more special. I'm just really excited for our players. They've worked so hard and they have this as a goal of theirs for a long time. So just really excited for them and our school community. It's been a really fun ride.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it was a little bit of a nerve-wracking ride a week ago against Creighton Durham Hall. You had a 17-0 lead, and then you had to hang on at the end, and you went for it. I think it was, 4th and 2 down in Creighton's end. You turned the ball over on downs, but you said, okay, you guys can try to go 98 yards in whatever amount of time they had left. You had to feel somewhat confident, but in high school football, you just never know, do you?
You know, you never know, and you've seen some of the wild finishes this fall with Maple Grove as a great example. You never know, and, you know, the game momentum, we had the game in hand at 17-0. We have the ball on the 50-yard line, don't convert, and they really hadn't done a whole lot offensively. But they go down and score. You got to give them credit. They hold us. We punt. They score again. And then we went on a 16-play drive and ate up about 7 minutes of the clock and got it down to two. And they had burned all their timeouts. So, you know, we made a decision to go for it and put the game away. It didn't make it, but our defense held on, and it was just a great win.
And your team has been incredibly resilient. You've had a couple of amazing drives, that one to preserve the victory. And I believe it was at the week before against Prior Lake when your offense had been struggling. And tell me about that drive that went down and culminated with a game-winning touchdown.
Well, it was really unbelievable, Tom. You know, it's bitter cold out. The wind's in our face. We're on the 10-yard line with about 6 minutes to go, and we really hadn't done much at all, even with the wind. And our quarterback, Aaron Severson, just kind of put the team on his shoulders, had a couple scrambles, and converted on some big downs. You know, we had a 3rd-and-21 that he got us out of, and we went for the win. It was 4th-and-6, balls on about the 15-yard line, but it's a stiff wind. We elected not to, to go for the field goal for the tie, but go for the win. And Aaron scrambles and finds Jackson Owens in the end zone. Jackson made a great catch. And it was one of those games on the way home, you ask yourself, did we really do that? It was amazing, especially under the conditions. And Aaron Severson, can't say enough about him. He's just a fantastic quarterback, and he got it done for us.
Yeah, Aaron has come through in the clutch. He's got a great arm. He's a good mobile quarterback. He can throw well on the run. He is a lot of fun to watch. And in that game, you could just tell the kids were having so much fun because, as I recall, it was snowing near the end of the game. It was cold. I mean, it looked like one of those old-time football games, and the kids had to have loved it.
Yeah, you know, it was almost like it was scripted. You know, right after we scored, it was like somebody in our sideline pushed a button to bring the snow in. It was almost surreal, and they, you know, threw a couple of deep balls, and you're just hoping that you don't get a freak tip or whatever. We've all seen that, and you know, before. And it was an unbelievable win. It got a little warmer all of a sudden at the end of the game. We weren't feeling the cold quite as much.
I'm sure. Now let's talk about your matchup tonight with Eden Prairie. You've played them once before. I was at that game. It was at Eden Prairie. You had an early lead. It was a very tight game up until halftime and into the third quarter. And then some things went a little haywire for you there near the end. I believe the final score was 39-21. You know, it sounds like a cliche, but that game seemed, and it was, a lot closer than that final score indicated. Did you get the idea you can play with Eden Prairie, despite the fact they've been number one all year, and now they've played two straight shutouts in the playoffs? How do you feel going into this game at a neutral site at U.S. Bank Stadium?
Yeah, well, you know, the takeaway from our first game is we think physically on the line of scrimmage that we can play with them. And you know, we just have to play well. You know, that game, the first time, it was a 4-point game with 7 minutes to go in the game, and we had just scored, had a little momentum. They get a kickoff out to their 45, they hit a long pass, and we throw a pick six, and in about a minute, the whole thing changed. So we just have to play well. And to older players, we don't have to be Superman or superhuman efforts. We just got to play up to our ability, and I think if we do that, we have a chance. Obviously, they're just a great program. They have their success is really unbelievable when you look at their body of work. And we're excited to be in the game, but we're going to go down and try to win the game, not just play in the game, and we'll see what happens.
Now, one of their players that you're going to have to account for, of course, is Antonio Montero, the Metro Player of the Year. I know when I was at that game last month, and I would constantly, I didn't know a lot about Montero. In fact, I didn't know anything when I went to the game, but I heard his name. It seemed, no matter whether they were on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side or on special teams. And I asked somebody I was with, I go, how many Montero brothers are there on the team? Because they were constantly calling his name. How do you account for a player that talented?
Well, yeah, and he's very deserving of the Metro Player of the Year. He is a great football player. Like you said, Tom, he kicks off for me. He's their extra point guy. He kicked a long field goal against us, and he's all over the field defensively. We just have to try to play sound and play technique football so we come off blocks at the right time and try to get in his way. And he's going to make some plays. You know, there's no doubt. But we just have to try to minimize the impact that they have. And he's also good with the football. He's a hard runner, and he's a great complement to the running game. And so it'll be fun. We're going against some of the best players in Minnesota, and we're excited for that.
Now, how do you work with your kids to get over the fact that they're playing in the championship game at U.S. Bank Stadium? How much did it help that they already had one game, a pressure-packed game, there already? Was that a big help so they can kind of get over the wow factor of playing at U.S. Bank Stadium?
Absolutely. You know, going into the week, we talked about the opportunity, and we might be playing in the greatest stadium in the world. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, the one down in Dallas is something too. But there's not many stadiums, you know, when you think of high school football in America, there's not many states that have a better venue to play the state championship rounds in. And so it was huge to get down there early to look around, to get used to it, to get that, first shock. Because a lot of the kids had never been in it before, but then when the game starts, you kind of forget about it. It's you're kind of locked into what you have to do, and obviously, it's different than playing inside or outside, but it's quite a treat for the kids. It's a memory that they're going to have the rest of their lives, no doubt.
Well, the funny thing is, when I stepped outside to head down here to the station, it's almost 60 degrees outside. You guys could be playing this game outdoors and be very comfortable.
Well, Marina and I just took a walk, and we had to take layers off by the time we were done. You're right. We had suffered for three straight weeks. You know, we had the bitter cold in the first round of the sections and section championship. We had to plow our field off. There was 2 inches of snow on it. And then Prior Lake, I don't know if I've ever been involved in a game that was that cold and windy. It was just brutal. So it's really fun. I'm not looking at the weather reports anymore every day. We know it's going to be no wind and about 72 degrees. It'll be great.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, Dave and I do happen to be neighbors, so I do see Dave out walking from time to time and working out in the lawn. And Dave is one of the great family men. You know, we were talking about these legendary football families, the Nelsons and the Grants, and Dave is just a great family guy. And Dave, one of my favorite memories of you will always be when you and your wife, Maureen, would organize the neighborhood Easter egg hunt when your kids had gotten older. And Dave and his wife would hide Easter eggs around the neighborhood park. And then Dave himself would come out in an Easter bunny costume. I don't know if I'm supposed to be outing you on this right now, Dave, but that's just the kind of guy Coach Nelson is. And that's kind of the way you're coaching this team. You've told me, I stopped in your driveway the other day, and you were saying this is a special group of kids, and this is like your extended family, isn't it?
You know, it's really a special group, and I can't really put my finger on it, but they are selfless. They are in it for each other. They just want to win, and they don't care, you know, who gets the glory. And it's really been a fun ride with these guys. And you know, last year's team, you know, we made it to the state quarterfinals, and Blaine beat us in the first round. But those guys kind of set the table for these guys and gave them a great example. And we challenged them at the beginning of the year to, you know, what are you going to do with the example that was in front of you the year before? And they've taken it to a new level. So they're just fun. They're really into it. They love to play the game. They love each other. They really do. You know, it sounds kind of corny, but they really do. And whether they're in the weight room or practice field or locker room, they're just having a ball together. So it's, in a way, going to be kind of sad to see it end. But I know that all good things come to an end, and we hope we have a happy ending tonight.
Yeah, and it's, as a coach, how do you know when you have a special group of players? I mean, I know you think every team is special, but some teams, and it happens in high school, college, the pro ranks, that you just know that a certain team has that it factor.
Well, yeah, and I think we found out kind of early because we had back-to-back wins over Maple Grove and Edina, which were just classic finishes, and both came down to fourth and one. And, you know, that's part of it, you know, when you're making plays on the field. But also, you know, we ran a camp for special needs kids in August, and we had 55 of our players show up. And it was one of the coolest things I've ever been involved with. We had it on our field. We had about 50 special needs athletes there. We had a ball. And you just kind of step back and you watch these kids interact with others. Tom, I get emails every week from parents about how our kids go up to their children after games and make them feel special. And our principal, Jeff Erickson, talks to me all the time about how our kids are in the hallway. They're just really good, caring kids. And And I think that, you know, that's part of it, too. It's just not having good players, but it's having good players that you like to be around.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to let you go in just a minute, but we first want to put Mike Grant on. We have reached Coach Grant from Eden Prairie. I want just one quick question for the two of you guys, then I'm going to let you go, Dave, and I'll hold Coach Grant over for our next segment. Coach Grant, are you there?
I am.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Big game tonight. Dave Nelson is on the other line, and I know we've been talking about what a big matchup this is and about how it's certainly a special game for the Minnetonka Skippers, their first time there in the Prep Bowl since 2004. And some people might say, Mike, this is old hat for you because Eden Prairie gets there so often, but I'm guessing every Prep Bowl game is special for you just like it is for Coach Nelson.
Well, yeah, it's not like the NFL where you might have a team that you keep together for 10 years. You know, every year it's all new kids almost and you know, a new experience and new leaders. So, yeah, it's special every time.
And, Mike, as you we're going to let Dave go here in just a moment, but as you look at the Minnetonka Skippers, what do you think about the job that Dave has done with them this year?
Well, I think, you know, that they have played outstanding throughout the year. You know, we in the new age of modern technology, you get to see every game that they've played, and they've seen every game we've played. So you get to watch them, you know, and get to know them pretty well. So, you know, they're a typical Minnetonka team. They're a physical, big physical team, and, you know, we've had great games over the years with them, and I imagine it'll be the same tonight.
And Dave, any final words for Mike Grant before you see him tonight on the sidelines?
Not really. Just got a ton of respect for Mike and his staff and his players. And, you know, we're looking forward to tonight. We're playing the best and looking forward to the opportunity.
All right. Coach Nelson, best of luck to you tonight. Mike Grant, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk some more with you about Eden Prairie Eagle football. Again, Coach Nelson, thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back on 1500 ESPN Garage Logic. This is Tom Hauser sitting in for Joe Souchere today. And we were happy to talk with Minnetonka head football coach Dave Nelson a few minutes ago. And we are now joined by Eden Prairie head coach Mike Grant. They will square off against each other tonight at about 7 o'clock at U.S. Bank Stadium in the 6A Prep Bowl game. And, Mike, as you look at this game, what is the key thing that you're looking at as you go up against Minnetonka? It's number one against number two.
Well, you know, it's like any game. You know, you know there are certain stats that determine it. And, you know, the first is turnovers, so we got to protect the ball. And we got to try to turn them over. If we can, certainly we got to control their quarterbacks, an outstanding kid that can scramble and make plays. So we got to try and contain him a little bit and make sure he doesn't win the game. He's had a couple games where, you know, late in the game, he's made huge plays to win the game for them. So you want to try and control him. And then, you know, we got to try and run the ball against a big, big defensive line that they have and big, you know, they got a big, defense and physical kids, so that's always a challenge. And I don't know, you know, we really feel like we've played 12 good games. You know, we really haven't had a down game. We've played well all year, and you know, we got to just continue to play with that confidence, I think.
In that last game, the regular season game against Minnetonka, I was at that game at Eden Prairie, and that the story there was turnovers. Minnetonka turned you guys over early in the game and took an early lead, and they kept that game close through much of the game until then you guys got some turnovers at the end and put it away. What did you learn about Minnetonka in that game?
Well, don't fumble the first play of the game.
That helps. That's always good advice.
Yeah. You know, the game is simpler than people think. And so, you know, the first two times we touched the ball, we fumbled and we gave away points, you know, in both of those. So, you know, again, you got to hang on the ball, try to minimize their explosive plays that they can get. They've got some really talented kids. And then, you know, we've got to have some explosive plays. I don't know that we're, you know, physically strong enough to just grind it out on them, cause they're so big and physical on defense. So, we'll try to make some big plays, and you know, every prep ball, every game is an adventure. And you know, sometimes you think, you know, like this last game, we beat them 39-21, and you know, relatively high scoring, and you know, it could be a 7-3 game. You know, you just don't know how it goes, and so you got to be ready for just about anything. And you know, I'm sure Minnetonka and I know we will be ready for, you know, whichever way this game goes.
Yeah, in fact, you beat Maple Grove to get to this game, and they had one of those games where that proved anything can happen. And you know that about you're because you're coaching high school students, high school players, so anything can happen on any given day. You don't take anything for granted.
Well, no, and you know, I mean, the three things to win it all, you have to avoid turnovers, and you got to avoid injuries. Now, you know, a year ago in the prep, we lost three starters in the middle of the game. Our three of our top kids were out, and that changes the complexion completely. So, you know, you got to avoid injuries, and then you got to get the breaks. You know, the officials are going to make some calls, and, you know, if it goes against you or for you, that can determine the game as well. So there's a little bit of luck involved in it because the ball also is not round, and it does not bounce like a round ball does. It bounces, and it can go any direction. And, you know, we've had games over the years where we've won games because the ball bounced our way, and we've lost games because the ball bounced the wrong way. So I think everybody that can make predictions, they're just guessing. And if I made a prediction, I'd be guessing because this thing could go high scoring, low scoring. You just don't know.
Now, you've got a lot of great players on your team in just the minute we have left here. Talk to me about the Metro Player of the Year, Antonio Montero. I know I was telling Coach Nelson when I was at your game last month, and I kept hearing Montero, 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 whether you're on defense or offense or special teams. And I literally said to somebody next to me, how many Montero brothers are on the team? I mean, he leads the team in touchdowns and in tackles, and he's your place kicker. Clearly, he is a key component on your team.
All right, and that, you know, that's what I'm talking about. If he would get hurt or something, then you go, well, you know, I don't know that we have a plan B. You try to have him, but Antonio's a great kid. You know, as good a player as he is, he's a better kid, you know, and that's what we like about him because we just love being around him every day. He's a great young man and, you know, a competitor and could play any position really for us. And, you know, as we get later into the season, as we often do, you know, those top players like Orion Iverson did when he was playing back in the 90s, all of a sudden they appear on offense more often. And, you know, Antonio, you know, didn't play a lot of offense early in the year, but as we got closer and into the playoffs, he's been a key component of our rushing attack as well. So he can do it all. We've got other kids that can do, you know, that are outstanding players, but Antonio certainly is our leader.
Well, Coach Mike Grant, best of luck to you tonight. You were runners-up last year. That was a disappointment, but you've won 10 state championships. You're going for number 11 tonight. Good luck as you go up against the Minnetonka Skippers. It should be a great game. It can be seen on 45 TV tonight around 7 o'clock, depending upon how the other games go. But thanks, Coach Grant, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. That was Coach Mike Grant. From the Eden Prairie Eagles, we heard from Dave Nelson, the head coach of the Minnetonka Skippers, a bit earlier. I can't wait for the game, Manny. I'm going to be there tonight, and I'm just hoping to see a great football game, and let's hope we can cap off the high school football season with a great game. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back after this. And welcome back to Garage Logic. Deputy Mayor Tom Hauser in for Joe Souchere, who's enjoying some Thanksgiving leftovers today, I imagine. He probably, as Manny and I talked about earlier, was deep frying his turkey just outside of his garage because the fire marshal would look askance at doing that in your garage. So I'm sure he cooked it outside. And boy, Manny, you and I are inside right now, but we really ought to be outside. I just got an email from one of our meteorologists, Jonathan Uhas, who says we are setting a new high temperature record for the day. The old record was 59 degrees back in 1990 and 2011. And apparently right now, we have 60 degrees. Is that the information you have? That's what I'm getting from our meteorologist. So we have broken it, and it still might go up another degree or two.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I remember 2011 being a really, really mild winter. I don't think we got a lot of snow that year, that winter either, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I had read somewhere on the long-range forecast that December was shaping up to be warmer than normal, mm-hmm. which is not good for a guy like me who builds a hockey rink in his backyard. I've done this every year since 2000, so this will be the 18th edition of my hockey rink, and I really count on some cold weather to get that rink, to get the rink in. Once it gets, once it's put in and the water's in and it's frozen solid, I don't mind some warm days here and there because you just stay off the rink and it's fine. But there have been some years where we get all the way to Christmas and it still has not been, there has not been a cold enough spell where I could even put the water in and fill it.
So really, you just need it to be really, really frigid to get the rink started, and then after that,
if I can get a good solid 3 to 4 days of cold weather, the rink will pretty much freeze solid. But the worst scenario, and so I usually wait for when I see in the forecast that there's going to be a few days before I'll fill it. If it's only going to be cold for a day or two, I don't do it, because the worst case scenario is you fill up thousands of gallons of water in your rink in the backyard, and then it doesn't freeze, because then leaves and things blow into it, and when it does freeze, you've got them all baked into the ice.
Yeah.
Or in my neighborhood, there's a lot of deer. I haven't had this happen yet, but I've heard of people who have had it happen where the deer will go running through kind of a semi-frozen hockey rink and mess it up. And if they poke a hole in your liner, then you're toast because all the water leaks out. And so you really need it to get cold, stay cold for a few days until it's frozen, and then you just take whatever comes. But but for today, since I'm not filling my hockey rink, I'll take 60 degrees.
It should be
a lot of fun.
Gorgeous.
Like I was saying to the football coaches from Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, they could be playing this game outdoors tonight, the prep bowl, all these teams playing over at U.S. Bank Stadium. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some politics. We'll have the latest on the Al Franken situation when we come back. And welcome back to Garage Logic. Deputy Mayor Tom Hauser sitting in for Mayor Joe Souchere here on 1500 ESPN Garage Logic. So far, we have talked about high school football championship game tonight in 6A, and there's games going on all day long on 45 TV if you want to catch any of the action in any of those classifications of high school football across the state. Then we talked about the record we've set today. It's 60 degrees. We have broken the old record for this date by 1 degree, and it might go up another degree or two, according to Jonathan Juhas, one of our meteorologists. And now, for something completely different, we're going to switch to politics and the politics of sexual harassment, and specifically the case of Senator Al Franken and some of the allegations he is facing. And joining me to talk about that is Stephen Scheer from Carleton College. Stephen, how are you today?
I am well, Deputy Mayor.
Keep in mind, I was unelected. I mean, I was not elected. I was appointed to this position.
But now you're subject to scrutiny now that you hold public office.
Oh, geez. Good luck. Gee, thanks for that, Steve. That's all I need is people like you analyzing me. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, let's talk a little bit about, since the last time you and I spoke a few days ago, two more women have come forward in the Huffington Post claiming that Al Franken inappropriately touched them during pictures they were having taken with him. Both of these women are anonymous. They have not revealed their identities. Senator Franken said it's hard for him to challenge these allegations when these allegations are anonymous. So we don't really know where that's going to go, but we do know there was another woman, Lindsay Menz, who did come forward publicly and alleged the same thing while she was having a picture taken with him at the state fair back in 2010. And then, of course, the case we all know about with Leanne Tweeden during the 2006 USO show that they were both on prior to Al Franken being in the state Senate. So we did a poll this week, Survey USA, KSTP, and we did a poll. And Stephen, as you know very well, and you have written an article about it as well, that only 22% right now say staunchly that he should stay in office. 33% say he should resign essentially immediately from office based on what they know now. But 36% are saying they're willing to let him wait for the results of a Senate ethics investigation. Now, again, the poll was taken when we only knew about two of the allegations. Now two more have come forward. Your thoughts about those numbers?
Well, first of all, I think that the opportunity for Franken is with that 36% who are waiting for an ethics investigation, because that will take a while. It will be confidential. And I think what the senator's hoping to do is let this all blow over and let people forget about it so that he can run for reelection in, 2020. That, I think, is his bet. Whether it will blow over is far from clear, it seems to me.
Yeah, that seems like a long shot, bet to me, given the current climate, that this will blow over and people will forget about it, given the fact here at the state level, we've had a couple of state legislators facing, again, I don't want to say they're not the same types of allegations that the senator has faced, but they have been sexual harassment allegations, and both of them have resigned because they determined they could no longer be effective in office. Our poll also asked, okay, if he does stay in office, can he be effective? Only 32% of respondents said he could remain an effective U.S. senator. 37%, so a plurality, say he would be ineffective. And then again, there's 32% who just aren't sure. And frankly, none of us can be certain how effective he could be. But what do you make of those numbers?
Well, they're not very promising for him. You know, he's hoping that he can turn the page on all this. But I also want to note that I think he has created a problem for himself because he sort of issued a series of non-apology apologies. He has admitted the photograph was inappropriate, and he's regretted that action.
The photograph with Leanne Tweeden. Right.
But yeah. The others, he said, well, these women may have perceived that. That's not what I recall, and so forth. He hasn't admitted to anything else other than what's in the photograph. And so I think he's trying to evade claiming that he actually did anything. I'm not sure that's going to work, you know, particularly because the DFL party is a feminist party. And I can very easily, Tom, see him having a female opponent for renomination in 2020 if he should stick around in office. And I think he'll be in real trouble with that.
And it's going to get increasingly difficult for him to explain some of these things away if the number of people, women making allegations continues to grow.
You can
maybe explain away one or two instances where maybe your hand accidentally brushed up against some inappropriate part of somebody you're having a picture taken with. But if these women who've come forward, again, two of them anonymously, say this did not seem to be accidental, inadvertent behavior, and that is going to become increasingly difficult for him to explain.
Right, and there's another piece of evidence we have to add here that I think helps to complete the picture. There were some promotional photographs of him with Arianna Huffington from 1996 when they both appeared on Comedy Central, and in those promotional photographs, he is feeling her bottom in a way that looks inappropriate. He clearly thought at that time that that was funny and that was part of his routine. So that suggests to me, at least, that he didn't see any of this as a big problem back then, and he may still not see it as a big problem.
Now, what do you make of the fact that it has now been more than a week since the Leanne Tweeden allegations first came out, and he has not said anything publicly? He has not even been seen in public. We're hearing some reports that he might speak to the media on Sunday, but we have not been able to confirm that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you make of the fact that he has gone now nearly 8 days without even being seen in public, let alone talking to anybody, just issuing statement after statement through his staff?
Well, he's trying to defuse this by, you know, not admitting guilt except with the photograph. And then he is keeping a low profile in the hope that attention will move away from him. And I think he also was wary of making public statements because there may be more disclosures coming that could cast him in a bad light. So that's what I think he's doing, he's trying to chill everybody out. That may work day to day, but over the long term, he's got to surface, he's got to respond to this, and he's got to face his accusers.
Well, and he certainly had timing on his side because this broke right before Congress left Washington. I was out there, as you know, a couple of days last week trying to find the senator, and this broke on Thursday. Well, late Thursday night, both the House and Senate had adjourned for the long Thanksgiving break. So not only is Congress not in session, everybody has taken off for the holidays. People are scattered all over. So the timing has been good. He hasn't had to miss a lot of votes. He did miss a few on the day that this broke, but it would have really looked bad if he would have tried to stay in hiding while congressional business is going on and he would have been missing business. What happens if he does come forward and he says, look, I apologize for anybody who misunderstood what was happening. I never did any of this, you know, intentionally. But then more women come forward after he denies that there's anything else. How damaging would that be? How difficult would that be to recover from?
Well, I think it would be difficult. You know, the Huffington Post disclosures, those two women who were anonymous were both Franken supporters. And that's the real problem for him, is support within his own party. When you have...
And the Huffington Post is not exactly a right-wing PR machine.
Right. That's right. And when, you know, when you have state legislators resigning quickly as a result of sexual harassment charges, and him attempting to ignore all that and just hang on in office, it's very difficult. This is the whole question of sexual harassment is not going to go away in Congress. In fact, I think that that whole arena is starting to open up. You can see that the, John Conyers, the senior Democrat in the House, is facing serious charges and calls that he resign. We know that there have been millions spent in anonymous settlements regarding sexual harassment with incumbent Congress members, and all of this is going to continue to dribble out, and I don't think Franken can disassociate himself from this. This issue is going to be with us for a while.
Just 20 seconds left. His approval rating now in the state is 36%. That was after just the first two allegations. That's only 5 points higher than President Trump. How difficult will that be to boost that number for Senator Franken?
Well, I think it will be difficult because it's very hard to turn the page. People begin to develop a perception of you, and I think the single most important thing is that photograph. It is really incriminating, and it will be part of his permanent legacy.
All right, Stephen Scheer from Carleton College, as always, we welcome your insight on this issue, and we're going to be talking about this, I'm certain, for days and weeks to come at a minimum. Stephen Scheer from Carleton College, nobody does it better when it's breaking down what's going on in politics in Minnesota. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on Garage Logic after this.